Hello, everybody. This is Captain Cats.
And we are Cats.
All right, and welcome back to the show. So, this past week, Summer Game Fest just happened, and it's still going on as of recording. We don't know if it's going to be going on the next following week, but, you know, only time will tell. Is this going to be the replacement for E3? I hope so.
At this point, it probably is, because isn't right now the time where E3 like would be like blah, 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 blah?
Yes, I think this week would have been when E3. It would have been like this. Yes, today as a recording, tomorrow and Tuesday. All media. It was for the media, and it was all the press conferences.
Yeah, the Sony showcase, the Microsoft showcase.
Yeah.
And Nintendo has their own little thing.
Yeah. But the actual conference, the actual event, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I know, I've been there. Was it great when I went there? Oh, yeah. It was, I think, at the height, right before the fall. So I went at its peak. Ah, the memories, the stuff I could tell you about. The people I met, the things that I saw, the things that will never be published, games that I saw that will never be published. Oh, man. Ah, memories. You know, we all know what happened, the decline, the fall of E3 to...
ESA.
Basically the death of it. Let's just put it that way. Let's not beat around the bush. And Summer Game Fest came around, and I think this is great. I like how it is, especially this year. It started off on Thursday, and it was free to the public up in L.A. at the YouTube Theater. It was very big, very spacious.
Yeah.
And if you couldn't be there in person, they were streaming it on YouTube. They were streaming it on Twitch. They were streaming it on Facebook. It was free to the world. That was a great concept, and I loved it. And what did they have? They had a lot of great games. They had a lot of great trailers. And quite possibly, I think they just already showed off a couple Game of the Year contenders, especially the first trailer we're going to talk about, Mortal Kombat.
Well, Mortal Kombat 1.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the original Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to say it right now. We're barely in June. Fighting game of the year. There. I said it. Not Street Fighter 6. Not Tekken. No. Mortal Kombat 1. The trailer looks great. The gameplay is smooth. Flawless. Wonderful. They added more stuff to a perfect formula and just makes it fresh and wonderful.
And of course, people will not stop talking about, you know, what kind of fatalities do we have? I know we got the classics, but then we got some of the nice, you know, the juicy, literally juicy new ones.
Right,
we don't even know if that's it. You know, like, there's probably, like, if you bought the game or whatever, there's a shitload more of fatalities that we don't know of.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, will it bring back friendships, fatalities,
Animalities. Yeah, stage fatalities, yeah, so on and so forth. So we know that the game's going to come out this year. It already has a release date. So I know from here on out to till release date, NetherRealm is going to go on this this convention season tour. You know,
you think they'll show up at this year's San Diego Comic-Con?
They did it with 9, 10, and 11.
Mm.
I know. I was there.
We were there.
I was there at the Mortal Kombat 9 tournament. And we
actually went to the Robinson's May in the now deceased Horton Plaza.
Yeah.
And that's where we went to Ed Boon. And this was after we decided to go visit another tournament first at 10th Avenue Theater. And we kind of, they let us in with the honor system at the time, and we saw what was going on, what was the main prize. We didn't like it, and we were like, well, what the hell are we going to do now? We got to go back to Horton Plaza, because we heard that Ed Boon's going to be there. Ed Boon? All right, let's go.
Yeah.
So we huffed, literally huffed, a lot of blocks just to get to the Robinson's May on like the third or fifth floor.
Yeah.
And we didn't know at the time that he was there for another hour or so, but we were there on time.
Yeah.
And people didn't realize, this was before, like, you know, everybody had proper, so I'm talking about proper cell phone use of today.
Yeah.
Back then.
Well, before social media became the normal standard of communication.
Yes. Otherwise, you're Richie Rich with a cell phone.
Yeah.
In those days. So we were actually able to, it was a very short line, but we were able to meet and greet Ed Boon. We hooked up Omega Chi with something from there.
Oh, he signed his Mortal Kombat 9 book.
And arcade stick.
Yes, yeah.
And Ed Boon was really cool doing that.
No, he's a cool, awesome guy. I got to meet him. I got to meet him at E3, and I got to play MK9 with him.
Lack security?
Yeah.
Well, when I mean lack security, I mean... there was no issues. Everybody was well behaved. Everybody was pretty much stoked. The sad part was, you know, like I said, pre-explosion of technology. If you knew something, you have to go.
Yeah. And the good thing though was there was a tournament. And you only had to play with the DLC characters at the time, and there was 64 people. I was one of the 64. And I made it to the round of four. No, I made it out to the round of eight, got knocked out, finished fourth place out of that tournament. So, and you know, I was pretty proud of myself. Yeah, good old Scarlett. Yeah. But other than that, Mortal Kombat 1 looks phenomenal. And funny enough, everyone thought that this was done on the Unreal Engine 5. This was done on an Unreal Engine 4. And here's the thing. 9, 10, and 11 were done on the Unreal Engine 4. So it's not about the hardware or the software. It's about who is creating it. So now, and the reason why I'm saying this is because no other company cannot say, "Oh, we couldn't make a great game because of the software." No, if they've been using Unreal Engine 4 to make 9, 10, 11, and Injustice 1 and 2, and they all look phenomenal, you don't have any right to complain.
I think they probably got a mathematician or two on their side.
No. What NetherRealm did was the smart thing. They went to the community and asked for help. They even hired people from the community. That's what they did.
So, pure, genuine product control. Yeah. And product...
And people who knew the engine and knew the coding. See,
otherwise, I would have said that they probably, if some of those people knew their math well, they're probably using the tried and true method of exhaustion made by Archimedes, like approximation of pi.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know it, but it was basically using the method of exhaustion, and I guess they probably somehow implemented that into their graphics. Even though there's a Real Engine 5 right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're using Unreal Engine 4. And just using something that a Syracusan did over 2,000 years ago to make, well, in this case, wonderful approximations of humans and environment using graphics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, mwah.
Yeah, of course. Chef's kiss. Yeah. But that wasn't also the talk of the town. They also show the trailer for the second part of the Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is titled now Rebirth. And It has a 2024 window. It's exclusive to the PlayStation 5. Maybe PlayStation 4. We don't know. But I know it's a Sony exclusive. It looks great. If any of you who've played 7 before, you know where this is going to take place at. I don't want to spoil it for you. I've played 7. I have 7. I have it autographed by the creators and the music composer. I still have it in my room.
And we had to buy like a greatest hits version just so you can play.
Yes. Yeah. And don't regret it.
I know.
I don't regret it. But also, we finally get to introduce fan favorite characters coming in, and so on and so forth. It looks great. Gameplay looks fun. Looks great. Looks fine. We don't know how much memory that's going to take. So, you know, and it's rumored as of now. We don't know. It could be a 2-disc game.
So now we're looking at since the days of PlayStation 1, a proper epic game.
Of a remake of a proper epic game.
Yeah, and don't forget the big snow elephant in the room, if you will. Remember back in the day, they spent a shitload of millions of dollars, I think 70 million, just so they could have, at the time, which was super awesome at the time, stupid today, the snowboarding thing.
Oh, in Final Fantasy?
Yeah. To you kids out there,
the minigame.
I'm sorry, shut up. It was a big deal back in 90. When did it come up in 97, 98?
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
It was a huge deal.
Yeah.
I figured they have to put that in there at some point, but this time, no excuses.
Yeah.
You can't get away with polygons and approximations. Yeah. And you got people using Archimedes' method of exhaustion. No, that's $70 million is pittance today.
Yeah.
No excuses. If you're going to put that in this game, or maybe they may have a third installment or something, make it count.
Well, it is.
It's got to be like Tony Hawk Pro Racing or something. Yes. I don't care. Tony Hawk at this point. It's got to be Tony Hawk at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Well, they did announce when they announced this project, it was going to be a trilogy. So that we don't know. And it's been a long time since we've had anything heard of the second game. So maybe we might see the third game in our lifetime to finish this out. I don't know.
Switch means maybe we'll finally have a proper mini snowboarding game event. Or even chocobo racing.
Yeah, I actually did love that.
Well, there you go. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but still.
But that also drives another question. If they're going to be doing this shit with the trilogy and stuff, is it going to be like back in the day where if you have to go back to the first level to get something, or you're just good old-fashioned, you know, leveling up?
Oh, backtracking?
Literal backtracking. We're not talking about it's one proper epic game in 3-disc, you can just switch because you got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about switching between the game editions, you know, the first game, the second game.
Don't know. They said, all I know is that they're going to do beta, there's demos and I think a beta test. And same thing with MK. They're going to do an open beta, a closed beta, and some server stress tests down the road. They're going to make announcements for those. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, yeah, those were two of the big major ones. There was a lot of other major ones as well. One of the worst-kept secrets in the Summer Game Fest came from Atlus, because there was a leak within their company, which was, well, duh, Atlus of America, leaked out by accident that they're going to remake Persona 3 and another Persona game. I think it was a Persona game that was on the Vita and they're going to bring it over to consoles. They were supposed to show that at the Summer Game Fest, but they leaked it out themselves by accident. And the cat's out of the bag, and everyone's just like, facepalm. That's fine. If they have the money and the time to do it, if they can bring it up to like Persona 5 graphics, I'm cool with that. Other couple of games that came out that were like, I'm just going to shoot right now because there's like other good games to talk about as well. John Carpenter's Toxic Commandos is just an homage to the 80s zombie apocalypse in a funny, violent way.
But it could also mean it could be part of his apocalypse series. First one being The Thing, a second one being They Live, and I think the last one was in the Mouth of Madness.
Yeah, who knows? Don't know. Just gotta wait until what Carpenter says.
The only thing I'll just have to use the negation of I do not like it.
Yeah,
I say it positive, but in a negative tone because they had to use Bon Jovi's
Shout to the Heart.
Shout to the Heart. You know, you give love a bad name.
Yeah, yeah.
But and yet it fits.
Of course, it
has. All they need is Roddy Piper coming back and making his classic lines.
Yeah, well, 80s motif. You had that. You had the Toxic Crusaders, made by the same company that did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. That's coming out with a new DLC, playable character, Usagi Yojimbo. The Toxic Crusaders, they're basing it off on the 90s, the late 80s, early 90s cartoon series of the same name. Looks great, looks fabulous. Has that great, like, 80s, 90s cartoons feel and vibe.
Yeah, but is it Konami quality?
Yes, surprisingly it does. Not only that, we're going to have another Yakuza game, another Yakuza Gaiden. Don't get me wrong, I love the Yakuza series. It's really great. Just kind of move the story along, you know? I as much as I love the story and everything like that, kind of speed it up. I don't have all this life to live, you know? I actually want to see it before I die, how it ends, you know?
But at the same time, you were wondering, well, what kind of arcade mini games can you play in there?
Don't start that. What else do we have? Sega actually listening to its fan base, I guess. They came out with a new Sonic game, and they're using this generation graphics to bring life 2D. It's called Sonic Superstars,
and they actually mentioned that they're not going to be like rehashing or using levels from the previous entry. So like all the whole product as a product, new material.
It's all new material and everything. I think they took the tone when with Sonic, the last 2D Sonic game, it was done by one person, and really kind of put Sega in their place. And it found out that they love that more than the 3D games. Well, duh, everybody's telling you that the 3D games weren't that great. They're all hit and misses. There was like maybe a couple that were good. But yeah, finally they're listening. You know, Nintendo hasn't done much. There's a lot of games that are coming out for Nintendo. A new Prince of Persia game looks interesting. I can actually say, you know, and I'm going to date myself here, but I was there when I saw the very first Prince of Persia. I actually played the very first Prince of Persia, you know, and I've seen the series grown for better and for worse. And it looks like this one is going to be really good. It has that Metroidvania vibe to it, but I don't mind it because I think Prince of Persia was Metroidvania before Metroidvania became a thing. So, So we'll just go with that. And also there's a new game called Pulex. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's just basically Pokemons with guns. You go, you collect Pokemon, and you equip them with guns, and they go to war with each other. Hey, what more do you want? You know, get a Pikachu, give him a minigun. Hey, send him to war. But, yeah. So, yeah. All right, so other games to talk about.
As of recording today, they showcased Fable with an introduction by Richard Ayoade.
Yes.
I liked the trailer.
Okay, let's just put it this way. Fable hasn't been Fable in a long time. In a long, long time. I saw it. I liked it. But then it's like, it's Peter Molyneux. So, you know, a lot of empty promises. You know, like, I'll give them the benefit. Like, you know, Fable was good. But has it been good since 1? No, not really. It's always like every other installment of Fable was an empty promise. So.
Yeah, but it looks like their motif this time is the theme is Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh. Yeah. Great. Grand. Wonderful. What is he going to promise this time?
No. Because in the trailer, Richard Ayoade was doing the in-game, character was doing the interview. But it turns out that he is the giant. And I guess the main protagonist, or I don't know if it's a female or something, but that's Jack. Or in this case, Jill and the Beanstalk. So the theme is Jack and the Beanstalk. Could it be the only thing? I don't know.
But that's how they get you. That's the thing. That's how they get you. That's how Peter gets you. You know, gives you something. Oh, yes, great, right. And then when the final product comes, it's just like, oh, this is not what I wanted. Thanks. It's like that. We also saw today of the recording, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty. Looks great. Looks phenomenal. It picks up right after the ending of 2077. I'm honestly stoked. I can't wait. Thing is, we haven't heard any more information about the game. We don't know, like, if your stats and everything crosses over to the new one, or is it going to be just like the Witcher 3 games, expansions? Are they going to be like their own thing? And with a $30 price, well, because you got to remember the Witcher game and then the expansions were like $30 as well, but they were worth it because they were like, okay, for $30, what do I get? Oh my God. It's like its own separate game, but it's an expansion. So we got to know from there. But still, it looks great. Keanu Reeves comes back as Johnny Silverhand. Idris Elba is in. He's playing a new character. It's going to look great. It's going to be taking place in a different part of Night City, Dogtown. So.
Well, is it going to be like, it's download content, right?
Well, we don't know. We don't know if it's going to be.
Because I have Final Fantasy VII MMO, like, or do you have to use this to jump back, or you have to go to do this?
Yeah, we don't know. But that also has a release date. It's in September of this year. They're already doing pre-orders right now, so I'm definitely going to pre-order it after con. So says the Peanut Gallery. And another game that blew me away, I really love, and like 10 years in the making, Space Marine, Warhammer 40K, Space Marine 2. Looks beautiful, looks gorgeous. I cannot wait until I get to play this. I want to know what happens. People who don't know, first Space Marine game, you see, you play as Commander Captain Titus. You go on a planet, kill orcs, kill lots of orcs. And go on this crazy rampage of killing orcs, killing chaos, and everything like that. And at the end, spoiler alert for a 10-year-old game, but here's a spoiler.
He gets betrayed by one of his own.
He gets betrayed. No, he doesn't get betrayed.
He leads him to the Inquisition.
Yes, I know, but it's not betrayal.
But he wasn't happy about it. He's like, well, you don't know the meaning of true brotherhood.
Yeah.
No, that private should have kept his mouth shut.
Yeah.
For the sake of, you know, humanity.
Yeah, so, yeah, Commander Titus, Captain Titus gets sent into the Inquisition, and we never hear from him again. And then Boltgun just recently came out, which is the spin-off series of Space Marine. You play as another Ultramarine, goes down to the same planet where Captain Titus is, and you just purge the hell out of that planet. Doom style, plain and simple. Love it. It's a wonderful game. Game of the year. Space Marine 2 takes place years after the events of 1. We see Titus comes back. He is not a captain no more. He is a lieutenant, and I think he's a Primarch Marine. And also, I think with the chain on his arm, he's still an Ultramarine, but I think he's honor bound by the Inquisition. I don't know. I don't know if my lore is right on that or not. 40K lore.
You might have to go look it up online, because
it's way too much lore to remember. But yeah, so if the chains are right, if I'm right or not, but I'll definitely look that up. I think he returned to the Ultramarines, but I think he's like still bounded to the Inquisition. But like I said, I don't know. We gotta wait until the game comes out. And this time, instead of going against the orcs, you're going against the Tyranid. Basically, they're like the Warhammer 40K version of Zergs from StarCraft, but more violent. That's the best way I can say. You just go to war against them. And also chaos. So, you know, who knows what that's going to be. And then it's already been revealed that they're going to be having 3-player co-op. You're going to have other missions outside of the single-player campaign mission besides out there. So that's going to be interesting as well. Game comes out this year. I am definitely going to pre-order it. If you get the limited edition one, you get a really nice, awesome statue and everything. But I'm not going to be that crazy of getting it, because I know that's already going to be sold out by the time I decide to do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah. So, and all in all, what did you think of Summer Game Fest?
This could possibly, if they play their cards right, especially next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that E3 is going to be coming back anytime soon, but there is a distinct possibility, yes, parking it, that it can be, that they could make a comeback, but it could make or break them. But as for this Summer Game Fest, if they play their cards right, I think this could be a de facto replacement for E3. Which means if E3 comes back next year, they're going to have to do something huge to not just recoup the losses because of COVID, but they're going to have to find a way to win back
an entire industry and community.
The whole industry. But They're going to have to do something to get the people involved. Because remember, it was like a club ownership. And if you don't have enough money, or let alone you're not part of the industry, you don't get to go in. You gotta wait
into when I went to E3, the only way to get into E3 was you had to be part of the industry, either from a journalistic point of view, work in the industry's point of view, show trading point of view, or if you were lucky, academics. But you had to prove that you're going there to learn. Or, like, you know, you want to learn about the gaming industry, this is a great way to go in there. I was fortunate enough to go through that route and to learn and understand more of the gaming industry, how the way your politics works and everything like that. You know, and got to meet a lot of interesting people and, you know, the ins and outs of the industry. It was a magical time. Let's just play it that way.
So the ESA, they're going to have to do something huge to win back everybody. And I'm going to give them a little help here. They're going to have to break that rule of exclusivity for the sake of accessibility.
I got to disagree with you on that.
Knowing them, they probably won't do it.
No, because that's where I'm going to be the devil's advocate here on this one, but that's what became the downfall of E3. When they started to open it up for the public, little by little, what did the public do? They just couldn't keep it in their pants and rushed by the millions, trying to get in there. When I was there, when it was all industry invite only, you know, on a global scale, it was more organized. You had a lot of people there within the industry knowing what it was from all walks of life of the industry. You know, whether, like I said, from journalists to designers, artists, musicians, living legends, celebrities. You know, it was in its bubble. It was in its world, but it was more organized. And it was more detailed to attention. When the public started to come in, all that went down the drain. I'm not blaming the community or anything like that, but it was, they didn't expect so many people to come. And they had, and they got pretty much nothing back in return. So yeah. If E3 were to come back, if they want to bring in like the public to get involved with it, okay, I'm okay with it, but they have to be more organized and more, like, if they have to put a cap on it, like, okay, for each day, you know, it's still going to be industry, but we're going to let about, say, like, 1,000 public a day for 3 days.
Yeah, but don't forget, you had, you know, those E3 tickets were like, the prices.
Well, yeah. I know, when I was trying to get one, you know, I got invited back to E3 the following year. Yeah, I know it was expensive as heck, but was it worth it? Yeah, oh yeah. Now, if they're asking for the same prices back then, now, would I go? Nah, I wouldn't really think so. Because it's not, it doesn't have that glit and glamour. It doesn't have that charm. It doesn't entice me to go. See, I would rather go to, like, a small local gaming convention than the E3. Why? Because that small local gaming convention might have would have more charm and more panache than E3 would. Why? Because they know what they got, and they know what they can do.
I prefer going to the Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, man, if only. If only.
I mean, the problem with that is even if somehow we magically got tickets for this year, for example, and don't forget, it's open to the public. Even if we get invited to spend all that, the money. And I don't mean like, you know, that, you know, guaranteed free tickets to go to the event. I'm talking about, you know, going over there.
Traveling, the booking.
Traveling, immunization procedures.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to get used to, I think it was the yellow fever thing. You have to get, and that shit makes you probably go, I don't know the period it is for you to recover from that, but it varies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and then the, you know, buying the visas, and then finding out which hotel, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
It could be ridiculously expensive.
It is.
And the only thing that we're guaranteed for free is the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, even if that, I wish I could go.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. You know, that's one of the things about the gaming industry.
But on the flip side, it's the same thing with the world, you know, wanting to come to a place like Comic-Con or whatever it is that we have here. They have to come over here.
Yeah.
And that costs a lot.
Or like, you know, Gamescom's coming up. Yeah. Gamescom is in Germany.
And one place might be more expensive than the next.
Yeah.
It would be cheaper if you just go to Spain and drive it there.
But we don't live in Spain.
No. Yeah.
But still. All right, then. Well, that's it for this week, folks. I hope you guys had a wonderful time. Have a wonderful week with us. Be back next week when we talk about all things in the world of pop culture. Until then, I am Captain Cats.
And I am We Are Cats.
Thank you guys so much. I hope you guys have a wonderful time, wonderful week. Stay safe out there and keep being you.
Yo-ho!